Welcome wherever you are and however you found this podcast. I'm absolutely delighted you're here. This is Jenny HK from the lifestyledesignstudio.com, and I continue on my mission here to eke out the secrets of lifestyle entrepreneurs and the adventurers out there that are actually just bold enough to step out and create a business that fits around the lifestyle they want. Now, I probably come from a bit of a slightly different perspective to most lifestyle design experts who focus purely on the mobile lifestyle and the joy of traveling around the world and taking their business with them, just because I have my two small children and a husband. But having said that, I've done many years of wandering this beautiful planet and my priorities have shifted. However, I do believe the concept of lifestyle design doesn't change. It's all about living through choice. And whether that's about working from home, picking up your kids, traveling the world, it's such a personal thing. I wouldn't be lying, though, if I didn't say that I do crave to travel a little bit more than I do. And we did sneak our kids out of school for 6 weeks this year. But a little while ago, I came across someone on Twitter who caught my eye because she is living exactly the lifestyle that I would have loved to have right now had I not taken the slightly more settled route for a while. And her name is Natalie. She is otherwise known as the Suitcase Entrepreneur. Hello, Natalie. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm very, very well. Thank you.
Welcome to the call. And where are you today exactly?
Today exactly, I'm in Brooklyn, New York City.
Wow, fantastic. Yeah. Now, Natalie, you've been having this mobile lifestyle, haven't you, since 2006?
2006, yes, actually. 2006. Left New Zealand,
wow.
And started off traveling again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
And New Zealand is one of my favorite countries in the world, so I won't ask you how you left there, because I guess when you come from somewhere, it's not quite the same, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it is paradise, and lots of people ask that. But I think, like anything, we have a pretty adventurous spirit in our country, and we always know that paradise is waiting for us when we want to go home.
Yeah, exactly. You do have that in your favor, absolutely. So, Natalie, could you just start, just to tell our listeners a bit more about your story and how you became Suitcase Entrepreneur with this fantastic lifestyle that you live? Because I know that you're always found in different places. You've got numerous different passions, haven't you? Like ultimate frisbee, and if you could tell us a bit more about all the sorts of things that you get up to, because it's such an inspiration.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny actually, because a lot of people say, oh, I wish I could have the lifestyle that you have. And I'm like, well, actually you can. I mean, it's just a matter of a decision of making a choice to go traveling and to then obviously work your talents and skills around how you can make money while you're traveling, whether online or offline, and just make it happen. And also you can travel very frugally these days, and there's lots of fantastic ways to be able to do it for much less than people think. But we can come on to that later. So my story is,
sure.
Always traveled, have European parents. I think I've been traveling since I was two, very, very lucky. It's kind of built into our family genes, I think. And in 2006, although I traveled before, I headed off to London like so many Kiwis do. But on the way, I stopped in Southeast Asia for 6 weeks. I was supposed to be there for one, and I just kept extending it and loved it. Just love being in different cultures and experiencing new languages and different scenes and scenarios and locations and ways of living. And from when I was in England, I was based there for a good couple of years, but in my first day of being there in London, I spent 300 days out of the year living out of my suitcase. I got a great job that required me to travel to Europe a lot. So I pretty much was traveling all the time. And when I wasn't traveling for work, I was traveling for Ultimate Frisbee, one of my passions that you were talking about. So fantastic game, similar to football and rugby in some ways and basketball. And luckily you can play it all around the world. And from there, I just kind of kept on traveling. From there, I moved to Vancouver. My friends thought I was crazy because I just bought and invested in a house with a friend. I just got this promotion in the job, and I was like, no, I'm going to go off and play the World Championship Frisbee game, and I'm going to start my own business. So Canada was just like a whole new life as well. I'd never ever been there before and always had wanted to go, and traveled even while I was there to Costa Rica and various other places. So I guess it's just, it really is something that I love to do, and if the opportunity is there to visit new countries, then I go. And a couple of years ago, I also developed this goal that I wanted to see half the world, which is less than some people who want to do the full world, but for me, that's still around, it's around 96 countries right now. So I'm at 45 right now, and for me to qualify that it's a country I've visited, you have to have spent 24 hours there at least, and then overnight. And I only have one exception to that, which is when I got trapped in Burma for a few hours illegally, thanks to some British friends that I was traveling with who decided that we didn't need to go through immigration. So that's the kind of nuts and bolts of
the dodgy
travel
Brits for you.
Indeed, and dodgy Brits. And just came back from living in Argentina for 5 months, which was definitely more of a challenge. And one of the reasons I went is I wanted to learn Spanish, but I also knew, unlike, you know, Europe and North America, it's a lot more difficult to live there. The standard of living is different. The services are harder to deal with. And I just knew it would be more frustrating, which may sound strange to people, but I like those challenges to make you think how you can run your life and your business in a more streamlined way and deal with these kind of ups and downs. So that's the travel side of things. Do you want me to talk about the suitcase entrepreneur, or did you want to jump in yourself?
Yeah, I'm fascinated because the first time I heard that, I mean, it just jumped out straight out at me, probably because I resonate with it myself.
Yeah.
And it's so apt for you. I mean, it's just brilliant. So how did you come up with that?
Well, actually, I'd love to say it just came out of my head, but it's been a bit of a process, because when I started my business and blog when I was in Vancouver, I called it Woman's World, with a Z, actually, NZ Woman, as somebody pointed out, because I was really passionate about seeing more women in business, primarily because I'd been a co-founder of a technology company when I first arrived there. And while I love that, I just didn't see that many women in that scene. And thankfully, it's growing, but it was just so male-dominated. So my blog was all about business and entrepreneurship, but also heavily focused on women and inspiring women and motivating them and connecting with them and interviewing them to, you know, find out how they've become successful and what they've done and the challenges that they've faced. So I actually had it as Woman's World for close to a year, but I was starting to write more around, you know, building an online business, how to use your talents and skills to kind of do that from anywhere in the world. I'm passionate about online tools, social media, and outsourcing to be able to do this. So I was definitely going more that bent. And then I went to a conference in Vegas, actually, and every single person who asked me where I lived, I couldn't answer with a straight face. Like, every time I said, I live out of my suitcase. I really do. And they all thought, it's crazy. And they're like, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, I just don't have a base. Like, I literally just travel and choose where I want to go next, but I'm always packed up in this suitcase. And one guy I was sitting next to, he's like, so you're a suitcase entrepreneur? And I was like, yes, I am. And he's like, you should buy that domain. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. And he even followed up with a text later that day saying, look, I've talked about it with my girlfriends, and yes, it's just so apt for you. So I can't claim it all, but I guess all day I've been saying, I live out of my suitcase, I'm an entrepreneur, and it just clicked. And I think it is great as well. So thank you for saying, because it totally represents what I do. And it also sums up in people's mind a certain kind of straight-off lifestyle. You know, it's travel and business.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually very hard, isn't it, to come up with something that, in two words that describes you and your business, and you've just hit the nail on the head there. I just think it's brilliant.
Thank you. Wait for the book.
So Natalie, I'm sure that will come. So Natalie, you just touched on some of the strategies you use to run your business and to allow you to live this lifestyle, and they're also the tools that you like, strategies that you like to teach as well, and they are your outsourcing, your online tools, and social media. Could you share a little bit more information on that and how those particular strategies have enabled you to grow a successful business?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, straight off, I could literally run my business using my laptop and my smartphone. And if I was really, really like light on travel, I would actually probably be able to do it from my smartphone. So in terms of you know, tools, those are the two that I always recommend to people. And then there's little bits and bobs that go along the way for me, like a camera that I can video people with and a great camera to take photos with. But what I'm really passionate about is finding new tools that allow you to streamline your business and run it from anywhere. So I'm a big fan of Skype. I can do all my coaching calls that way. I can reach people around the world at any time from my phone or my laptop. Then there's other tools I use all the time, such as Google, the Google Suites, which is all free, but just for sharing things online and having everything accessible through one website, no matter what computer I'm on or where I am in the world. I love Google Docs, Google Forms, and Google Sites. So I use that a lot, and also with my team members. And then some of my other favorite tools are things like Teamly, which is a really, really simple online tool, and it's free. It's actually been designed by a UK firm, and it allows you to manage your main priorities in a day, which can get pretty difficult when you're traveling all the time to keep a routine. So it's kind of like your key priorities to keep your business going, but you can also set it up for your team members no matter where they are in the world, and everybody can kind of keep track and communicate with what you're doing so that you know things are happening even when you're sleeping or traveling on a plane. And then one of my favorite tools is FreshBooks. It's a simple but really, really easy to use invoicing tool. So it allows you to keep track of all your projects, bill your clients, once again manage your team and the work that they're doing through there. Allows you to track your time and then, as I said, bill that out. But I just love that you know, I can send invoices from there, track what I'm doing, and receive payments all through this one tool. And it plugs into a lot of the other tools that I use as well. For example, MailChimp, which is pretty much my business in a list. So when everybody always says, what's, you know, the money's in the list, it really, I mean, my business is my community and the people who opt in to hear from me on a weekly basis. And so MailChimp is my email client platform manager of choice. And it just allows you to do so much in terms of segmenting people, creating new lists for various projects and products that I'm producing, and just making sure that I'm servicing people in the right way and getting my message out to the people who most want to hear it. So, I mean, there's just so many more, but those are a couple of my favorite ones that allow me to just be more succinct about what I'm doing, and also a lot of them merge with each other. So, for example, there's a FreshBooks plugin for MailChimp. And I just find the more you can streamline that and the more tools that you can use that are complementary, the easier your life gets.
Absolutely. And, I mean, given that you've been doing this since 2006, was it as easy to start with, or have these tools, because they're always progressing, aren't they?
Well, I think I've always been a bit of a tool user, but really it was probably since I started my business, which was around 2008, that I really got way more savvy with them. And unlike a lot of other people, I'm quite happy to try things out, test them, see if they work really well, and then ditch them. Whereas I know a lot of people will just put something on, they'll start a trial, and they'll never ever use that tool again, which is just, it's kind of sad because you never know how useful it could be for you. But doing that takes a lot of time, which is why I produced like a toolkit for people as well of the best of the best tools. So I guess I've spent enough of my time and money investing in these tools and figuring out which ones work best for which kind of business. And that's what I attempt to do on my blog. I have a weekly toolkit time show where I introduce one new tool and tell people kind of why it's useful and how to use it so that they can make their own assumptions on whether it's a good fit for their business. But for sure, it's a trial and error thing, and where possible, I try to share as much of that knowledge with people so that they don't have to go through as much of the faffing around that I've managed to do.
And you've got a new ebook out on that, and a premium version of it as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
That you're constantly updating. So how can people get hold of that?
They can easily get it actually off my website, which is thesuitcaseentrepreneur.com. And then there's a section there called the Ultimate Toolkit, actually. It's also in my biz shop. So I have it in various places around the site so people can get to it, including on the homepage. I have a link to it. And should be easy enough to find, but I'm happy to send a link to you guys after. And essentially it is, this. Why I put it together is that I was really sick of reading blog posts where people like the 25 latest financial tools to manage your money. And I was like, I don't have time to read through 25 tools, and I certainly don't have time to
then how do you know how to choose?
Them. Exactly. And I still comment on people's blogs today. It might sound mean, but I see one that's the 15 of the latest tools to record your videos. And I always leave a comment going, you know, great that you've researched all this, but which is your recommendation? Like, there's still just nobody's kind of just giving that. This one's great because it's free, and this is the best paid version. So that's exactly what my book does, and it's broken down into 10 chapters, right from setting up your kind of online office, your virtual office, through to marketing and sales, social media management, which is all about streamlining what you're doing online and tracking it. You know, website-based tools, sales tools, customer service tools, outsourcing tools, personal productivity tools, team tools, and then legal and finance. So I was really trying to cover the whole gauntlet of all the specific areas that you need to get a handle on when you're running your own business. And then there's one free tool and one paid tool for various areas within each of those chapters. So it's a resource. It's totally a resource that I know that a lot of the entrepreneurs who have been using it and reading it have been going, oh, I open it every so often when I'm like, oh, right now I need a time tracking tool, or right now I need to know how to manage my team, or I need an HR tool. So I'm really glad people are using it in that way, because that's what it's meant to be. Like, just look to it as a resource, read the short review, click on the links, and you're in. And then the premium version is any updates on those tools that I've mentioned, because obviously tools are always changing. So if there's a new feature or a new aspect to it, I'd write about that on the premium site and give people a quick update. I also get exclusive discounts and bonuses for people working through these companies that are just for my members. And then I introduce one new tool every 2 weeks. So it's not meant to be overwhelming, but it is meant to keep tools fresh of, I should say, top of mind and the most up-to-date ones. And it's been really well received.
So do you have, so when you say you introduce one a week, so when you...
one every 2 weeks.
On the premium site, every 2 weeks. On the premium site, so you don't get them all up front, or do you? Or you just...
No, you get them all up front in the book, and then new ones are on the site. So all of the tools are in the book. The featured tools are featured on the site, and then every 2 weeks I add another one to it.
That's brilliant. How much time and money you're going to save people by doing that? It's fantastic, because, I mean, I know I've gone through the process as well myself. Not so much, just, you know, because I am based here in the UK and not traveling around so much. But, you know, when you do crack on to one tool that makes your life easier, there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll definitely be checking that one out myself. And Natalie, the other thing you like to focus on is outsourcing as well. How do you manage that?
It's been an interesting process to go through, because it once again, it kind of depends on what you're looking for. But I love writing about it, because I think people get a little overwhelmed. And I always say, start small, like I did, and just outsource one project. So if you need some design work done, you need some research done, administrative tasks, just start small. And I primarily use Odesk. Odesk.com. It stands for an online community of basically freelancers and then clients who want their services. And it's such a neat solution, because essentially I will just post up a job and I'll say, this is a brief description, and then I can just select the criteria that I want, the level of English, the level of proficiency, and I can just put out a bid. And people will come back to me saying, I'm happy to do this, I have the time, and this is how much my hourly rate is. So, you know, for business owners, I think that's great, because you can choose the level of experience. You can also make it fit within your budget. You're not bound to them. You can, you know, cancel or fire them at any point. And you only pay what for the work that they do. And the great thing about it, which I think is a lot of people's mind, is there's a way that you can track what they're doing. So they actually record their screen. They have the software installed. It's a little bit big brother, but basically every hour it just takes a snapshot of the screen that they're working on. So you can tell, if you choose to go and look, whether they're looking at the right stuff or whether they're going off track, which I think saves you time as well, especially when you're starting out. Just to say, oh, no, you look like you're looking at the wrong kind of websites for this research. I'd suggest these ones. And it's just a really great system for starting out. And from there, I've actually managed to find quite a few people that I trust and will then work with on a consistent basis. But it's great for smaller contracts and just wetting your feet with how useful and efficient outsourcing can be. And then from there, you can, you know, you can go to a full-time virtual assistant. There are various virtual assistant platforms as well. There's bestjobsph.com, which is basically, once again, an online working community in the Philippines who are renowned for being very trustworthy, having a high standard of English, and being really loyal to you. So there's a lot of options, but those are the two main ones that I really like using. And yeah, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, it's great you highlight that, because I think it is definitely overwhelming when you're first starting outsourcing. I remember when I did my first outsource, it was actually a bit of a disaster, to be honest. But you know, you learn by experience, don't you, in terms of how clear you need to be on your briefs, and you know, just not forgetting that you can interview up front as well. Just because someone's the other side of the world, you can interview on Skype and or video interview, and it doesn't have to be such a massive undertaking. But you know, having a recommendation there of where to go is really useful. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So Natalie, what are some of the major challenges you face on the road and with your business?
Great question. I think the biggest one for me has been setting up systems, which is why I love all these tools, to make my day more efficient, because as you can imagine, no day is ever the same. You know, there are definitely times when I'm based in one place for a few weeks, but my office is a cafe, a train, an aeroplane, or an airport, or a bus, and or wherever I can basically get wireless. So for me, it's about sticking to a plan during the day, being very, very committed to writing my content and my project work in the morning, no matter where I am, after obviously doing some exercise, and then leaving the kind of early afternoons free for interviews, Skype calls, coaching calls, and other business and meetings. So that's probably been one of the biggest learning lessons, is just managing that time. And secondly, being an online entrepreneur, you can work 24/7 if you want. So ironically, since I started, I think I've had less holidays, which is primarily up to me to manage, even though people say, but aren't you traveling all the time? Yes, I am, but I don't actually take as much time off as I used to, you know, head away for 3 days to do some crazy adventure in the country I'm in. So that's been a really good learning lesson, to schedule time out of my actual working week, which could be 7 days if I really wanted it to be, to take time out for me. So those would be some of the biggest learning lessons. It's knowing your boundaries. It's knowing that you're far more productive when you actually set limits on the amount of hours that you work in a day, and taking regular breaks and making sure that you're getting exercise and going out to discover the place that you're in, scheduling that into your working week.
Yeah, I'm going to just take that one on board this week, scheduling time out. It's so easy, though, when you love what you do as well, isn't it, just to kind of get engrossed in what you're doing. But, you know, there are times where I just get to the end of the week and I'm like, God, what did I do this week other than work? Not in a bad way, but just because, you know, you head down, you love what you're doing, there's so much you can do and there's never an end to it. So that's really good advice. And I will schedule that in. Cool. Okay, Natalie, just lastly then, in terms of one piece of advice that you would give someone who is starting up on their mission to become a lifestyle entrepreneur, what do you think that would be?
Oh, so many nuggets of gems. But the one thing is to be really clear on the kind of lifestyle that you want, because you will create it if you're very clear in your head. If you don't, you'll end up with this weird concoction of stuff that's not actually making you happy. And what we were just talking about, taking that time out. Like, I'm very, very clear that my life is about creating freedom in business and adventure in life. So I need to have that mix. I make time out for my sports. I make time out for travel. I make time out for those mini retreats and vacations. And then, of course, I love what I do. And the clearer you can get on that, the bigger your vision for how you'd like to live your life, the more readily and more easily you'll move towards it. If you don't, I've just seen far too many people give up when they're trying to run their online business, or quit traveling because, or for that period, or spend far too much on it because they haven't done, you know, kind of a plan about what they wanted to do and a goal that they had every time they went to a different country. So, yeah, it's just all about having, like, what life do you want, and then making it happen. And you can only do that by having a really clear picture of what makes you happy, what gives you energy, and what obviously is profitable for you both personally and in business.
Yeah. So something that I always say is exactly that. Just get clear on your lifestyle priorities first, and then use the right business strategies for you and your strengths to build a business around those. Because otherwise, you know, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough building a business. And
yeah.
If you don't do that, like you said, so many people end up just giving up because it's not what they thought it was going to be because of that lack of clarity. And I think, personally, I think that's the first step anyone should take.
Definitely.
In setting up any business.
I totally agree. I've got lots of other nuggets, but I think that would be my main one.
I'm sure you have.
Paint your perfect picture.
I could spend a lot of time talking to you as well. Okay, Natalie, so just as a recap, what's the best place for people to find you? It's The Suitcase Entrepreneur.
TheSuitcaseEntrepreneur.com. I think I also have SuitcaseEntrepreneur.com. I have them all directing there just in case people spell entrepreneur wrong all the time, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also find me on Twitter at Natalie Sisson, which is SISSON. So then from either of those sites, there's every single link to me in the world, including on YouTube and Facebook and what's more. So I'd love for people to come and say hi.
Okay, and you're very active on there as well, aren't you? Well, that's how
I have to be, being a social media queen. We didn't actually discuss that, but yeah, it's pretty much my sales, marketing, and customer service platform, social media. I love it. It's how I've managed to build my business and my community and spread my message.
Fantastic. Well, actually, I mean, having said that, we are due to talk about that in another call, aren't we? I'm putting a tele-summit together, and you're very excited for you to be one of my guests, and that's exactly what we're going to be focusing on. So anyone on the line wanting to listen into that and how exactly Natalie runs her business with social media pretty much, and your systems obviously, but social media as your marketing and sales tool, then do join us, which that'll be in July, and I'll be sending out a podcast about that. So very excited about that, and we can focus on that next time. So, Natalie, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. It's been fantastic. I love listening to the English accent.
Sorry?
I love listening to the English accent. I do love kind of a variety of accents. The New York accent, New York is pretty cool as well. So
New York. You must be pretty good at accents. Actually, your Kiwi accent isn't very strong now. I guess that's...
It's not, actually. Yeah, I've been away for so long. It's a hodgepodge mix.
And do you go home much?
I am finally going home in August for the first time in 5.5 years. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how it's changed and what my friends are doing, and obviously to see my family, who I have seen on the road since then. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, fantastic. Great, Natalie, thanks so much. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon. And I wish you – where are you heading next? Are you staying in New York for a while?
I am in New York for around another week and a half, and then I believe I'm heading to California, Los Angeles, and there is a possibility of maybe heading to Montreal in Canada, and then back to New Zealand, which is so exciting.
I love the uncertainty there. I believe I'm heading to L.A. All right, Natalie, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, bye-bye.